Yes, it is that time. We are the 99%. We are the 47%. Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of NDB Media's Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again. Fasten your seatbelts. Put on the prophylactics because it's going to get hard and it's going to get nasty, ladies and gentlemen. And if you have to look up those words, well, that is your problem. It is Saturday morning here on Sports Talk with the Guys. Of course, I'm the scorekeeper and waiting for the effervescent RoboDog himself, the big dog. He will be here shortly, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God. It is. It's Saturday morning. And there's so much news that we've got to go over. Unbelievably. Oh, my goodness. A lot of stuff going on in baseball. We've got some football stuff. We're nearing the end of the season. And I, in about 2 hours and 15 minutes, won't have to worry about any of that stuff. But, hey, it's a glorious day. There's lots of news from here in Los Angeles. And this has nothing to do with Carmageddon 2. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the 405 has been shut down as of midnight this morning. For those of you who know what the 405 is, no, it's not General Order 66, nor a 47 temporal incursion, ladies and gentlemen. It is the shutdown of the entire west side of Los Angeles County, or more like the money side. The 405, which is the most traversed highway in the United States of America, as stated by many news outlets yesterday. Over 500,000 cars transit the 405 in the Sepulveda Pass area. Just look up 405 in Sepulveda Pass, and you'll see the 10-mile area. Or just look at the traffic images. It's all green. So that's what's going on the west side. But there's a lot of stuff going on in Los Angeles. As a matter of fact, I'm waiting for the big dog to arrive. But, hey, it is what it is. The downtown L.A. Stadium apparently has been approved. Oh, yes. Much to the shock of everyone, myself included, it looks like another taxpayer-funded entity has come to pass. Oh, yes. City Council okays clear way for construction to begin when a team commits. So it's done. It's in. And I'm just going to read the report directly from the Press Telegram today, who has 408,999 readers weekly. Well, it's actually 490,000 because I purchased today's newspaper this morning. Haven't had it delivered on a regular basis, but hey, it is what it is. And I've got to tell you, this is what the report has right now. As I mentioned, the subline is City Council okays clear way for construction to begin when a team commits. And some highlights are to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, L.A. is open for business. Bring football back to L.A., says Tim Lewicki, AEG president and CEO and the architect of the stadium project. That is up for sale, by the way. Following a city hall hearing packed with supporters and sprinkled with sports stars and multimillionaires and, of course, criminals known as Raider fans, the Los Angeles City Council members enthusiastically backed a plan for a $1.5 billion. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Now it's $1.5 billion. Football stadium and convention center hall in downtown. By a vote of 12-0, not a baker's dozen, it would have been 13-0, but that's neither here nor there, the council members approved the environmental impact report for Anschutz Entertainment Group's 72,000-seat stadium and adjoining city convention center hall. The move paves the way for construction of the stadium if a professional football team agrees to relocate to Los Angeles. The hearing drew a colorful crowd, the aforementioned criminal Raiders, including the Lakers' great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, former NFL quarterback Rodney Peete. Wow, there you go. That's a big event. Dozens of high school football players, even bigger, construction workers, oh, hell yeah, and wealthiest men in L.A., must have been the guys that live under the highway overpasses, and housing advocates, oh, just got to them, who are fighting the project. Big dog, your dream has come to pass. Oh, dare I say robo dog. How you doing this morning, big dog? Are you okay there, pal?
No, I'm doing okay. It's not my dream that I want a football team. I don't care whether it's here or if it's in Diamond Bar, but you know, I'm glad something started. But you know, they say with this deal approved, there's still a 30-day window for legal challenges. That even though it does get expedited and it has to be fixed within 135 days, there still is a 30-day challenge window. And of course, If NFL owners approve a team's move to L.A. next spring, the city will issue bonds to pay for a projected $314 million convention center building next door to the stadium. They said those bonds eventually would be repaid by AEG, but who knows when that would be. And you did miss one thing. The most notable member.
I hadn't finished the article yet, but go ahead.
Well, the most notable, of course, was you forgot. You said there were millionaires there, but don't forget there was billionaire Patrick Soon-Shiong, who is the guy who bought Magic Johnson's shares, and he is the leading candidate to buy AEG for a proposed or what they're projecting to be about $6 to $7 billion deal.
Big Dog, you are 100% right. When people ask me to go out, first of all, I'm offended because they say, hey, want to go out for Mexican? What the hell? I don't go out for Mexican. I get that stuff at home. Two, then they say, you want to go out for Asian? Why the hell do I want a noodle? I don't want that. So when you say that I forgot that billionaire, don't be shocked. Because if he was Mexican, I would have ignored him. And two, he's Asian, would have ignored him too. So, hey, I forget everything, Big Dog.
Oh, boy, we're feeling extremely racist today, aren't we?
No. I said I ignored him in the same manner that I ignore Mexican food and I ignore Asian food.
Mm-hmm.
RoboDog, push that little red light button so it can give you a jolt. Do what they did in, what was that, the Family Values, where they were shocking each other?
I don't see Family Values. Is that a comedy show on TV or something? Or
Adam's Family Values, the movie, the second movie. Sorry,
oh, Adam's Family. Okay, I get you.
Yeah,
okay.
The second movie. All right, whatever, Big Dog. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, under orders from Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, city staff have been working with AEG's lawyers on the deal, which calls for the city, as the Big Dog mentioned just a moment ago, to issue $390 million bonds to pay for the new convention center. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Big Dog, the money that's going to be coming out of that, or the money to pay that back, will be coming out of, parking, the excise tax, and stuff like that, even though it's not mentioned here, because they have gone into great details everywhere else. It's kind of like what happened with the Staples Center.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so many of the coalition members spoke about the environmental impacts of the project and argued that by approving the EIR, the city was failing to deal with issues such as air quality and traffic. Well, it's not one of the cities dealing with it. This is a state-issued project now. Once they got that little sweetheart deal from Sacramento, it basically, the cities, the communities, everything, they're out of it.
So who would, well, I mean, like I said, I mean, those guys are complaining. They still have the 30-day window to complain. Although, you know, as you said, I mean, with everything being pre-approved, and I mean, we all knew this was going to be approved. This was just a little charade of a meeting. I think everything had already been, all the I's have been dotted, the crosses, the T's have been crossed. This was just a formality. So any legal standing that anybody feels that they have is also going to just be a formality. It's going to be brushed under the carpet. And because as you and I have talked about this in the past many, many times, the city council, the city of Los Angeles, the mayor, everybody, they want this. So since they want it, they're going to get it.
Yeah. Well, let's just say that it's a positive thing right now. Now that the economy is starting to get back on track, you see, ladies and gentlemen, this is elegant proof that the economy is starting to turn around. If the city council is willing to blow $391 million, there is adequate sign that the recession is coming to an end, that the economy is turning the corner. If cities are spending, and in many municipalities they are, screw what everyone says. The economy is turning around. That doesn't mean it's good. It just means it's turning around. Well, anyway, since we've already discussed Carmageddon, and now we've discussed the 405 thing, before we get to any football stuff, I know the Big Dog will give us some reports on Thursday night, or even the Couch Potato who's listening in. And yes, Couch Potato, good morning to the hardest working man in sports. I've got to tell you, I was listening in to Cuervo on campus yesterday. There's good stuff. Brian joined him. And that was a lot of fun. I was there for about an hour until my wife said, let's go. I was like, uh-huh. We had to go to Target last night, and I was feeling up to it, so I did. Oh, Couch Potato says he forgot. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have read that. But anyway, Cats Potato, if you want in, let me know. We can talk about Thursday night's game. But for now, Big Dog Baseball. The Angels cleaned the Texas Rangers clock yesterday, 7-4. But Big Dog, I wonder if there's still time. But before we get to that conversation, as of this morning, the San Francisco Giants have clinched a playoff spot at 92-65, relatively and comfortably have clinched the division title, but as of now, oh, they have clinched the division title. I do apologize. The Dodgers are 82-75, 10 games back. Arizona is 79-78, 13 games back. In the Central, Cincinnati has clinched their division at 95-62. St. Louis is 85-72, 10 games back. And in the East, Washington is 95-62. They have clinched a playoff spot. And Atlanta, 91-66, has clinched a playoff spot as well. In the wild card, Atlanta is up 6 games over St. Louis. So they have the first 2 playoff spots as of right now. And the Dodgers at 82-75 are 3 games back in the wild card. And Milwaukee at 80-77 is 5 games back. What an unbelievable, colossal disaster, Big Dog, wasn't it, when the Dodgers just wasn't able to do it. They actually picked up all those weapons from the Boston Red Sox along with all that money, and it looks like the Dodgers are not going to be able to do it, Big Dog.
Yeah, it sure seems that way. I mean, does the season end this weekend, or does it end like Tuesday or Wednesday?
Good question, Big Dog. I believe it's going to be Tuesday because the one-game playoff starts Wednesday. I'm going to have to verify that, ladies and gentlemen, because I know that I will be doing my sports program on the last day of the season, so that could be Tuesday or Wednesday. So I will have to verify that, Big Dog.
You going to call any of those games, scorekeeper?
Mr. Clark, the hardest working man in sports.
Yes. Are you going to call any of those games? Is it set up on Let Me Hear You for you to call the playoff games, or do you know?
I'm sure it's going to be set up. I haven't checked, but I will be calling playoff games. Hell yeah!
I go back and I listen to you because sometimes I just can't listen live, and I go back and I listen to them. You're a crack up, and I think that's what Let Me Hear You is all about. It's just something different, and that's so cool. So,
I appreciate that, Couch Potato, for that crack up comment. I mean, dude, believe it or not, as you know, I'm a baseball fan. I love baseball. The Big Dog knows it. And I'm saddened to say that this is going to be the second year in a row, for the first time ever, the Big Dog and I have not gone to a baseball game together. Wow. I have not even gone to a baseball game this year for the first time in my life.
Huh. You have 6 more days. You got 6 more days, and LA's at home, right? Oh no, they're playing Texas this weekend in Arlington. They got their asses handed to them last night. As far as that's concerned, Texas did. Aren't they home at the last on the last home game? Get your butt out there.
I believe the Dodgers are home.
Go do it.
Well, Sonny, it's issues of health, pal. That's what it's come down to. That's the only thing. I know it's been a bad year physically for being able to go to stuff, and that's why. I'm sad to say I probably will not make the game. But anyway.
I'll hold your hand if you want.
There you go, Big Dog. What was that?
I said I'll hold your hand if you want.
Well, actually, you're probably going to need to hold on to a little bit more than that, and you're probably going to have a baggie there, Big Dog. Oh, but you are the Robo-Dog, so you are carrying accoutrements.
All he needs is a wheelchair, then, and all he does is push that button, and the wheelchair will go. I like that.
Yeah. Actually, Big Dog and I would qualify for disabled parking right now.
There you go. There you go. Hey, before we go too far, I have to leave at 8:30 because I got to take my daughter to practice, and then I'm going to listen to you when I get there, as long as the internet's working. It was working last week, but you said you wanted to talk about something before, as far as football was concerned. What did you want to hit up on?
Couch Potato, I want to discuss anything you want to discuss, but I'm talking about Thursday night's game.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. If Couch Potato did see that game.
Oh, of course.
then we could go over it. Big Dog, did you get a chance to catch that game?
No, I did not.
Okay, fair enough. I did get a little bit of it, so it's good. So since I have Couch Potato on right now, sir, tell us what happened on Thursday night. Wow! The refs are back, baby, and they got themselves...
Well, they got a standing ovation, and they're booing them by the second quarter, but that's okay. You know, that was kind of to be expected. The Baltimore Ravens actually looked very, very good in their game against Cleveland, because say what you want about Cleveland, they may be an 0-4 right now, but this is a hot defense, okay? So the fact that only 23 points were scored by the Ravens is not a surprise to me, and the surprise also wasn't that they won. But what the surprise is that we're seeing Joe Flacco before our eyes within the first 4 weeks of this season. We're seeing a different Joe Flacco. I think if we remember, we've talked about Joe Flacco, whether or not he's going to be that consistent quarterback. And I think we're seeing glimpses of this young man coming out to be right now kind of like a Matt Ryan. A Matt Ryan who's got consistent over the 4 years. It took Flacco about another year in order to do it, because it was 1 year good, next year next year good, and it was but he seems to be on a consistent basis now, and that's something, and that's not good for other teams, because they got a good defense, and if their offense is going to be on the field a lot longer, guess what? That means that's less time for the defense to have to be dead tired, and they're going to be refreshed, and they're going to go out and wreak havoc on many other offenses on the other side of the ball. So we also saw Josh Cribbs get knocked out. He was out for about 7 minutes after a punt return, and boy, oh boy, he took a massive hit, got up, and I don't know what – I haven't done any background on what his status is, but he took a vicious hit that night. But all in all, Thursday night game, which I really did – I really had no interest, but I was going to watch it because it was football. I did not expect a lot from the Cleveland Browns, but they put up a damn good fight in that game.
Sonny, you're 100% right. I agree with that assessment. I also want to know if you actually saw the interview that took place this week. I believe it was between Stephen A. Smith and Joe Flacco. I'm not sure exactly who interviewed him. I believe it was Mr. Smith. But, no, I apologize. It was not Stephen A. Smith. It was Deion Sanders.
Oh, yeah, Deion Sanders, yeah. They had that – I did see that interview, and one of the things Deion told him, which was – normally I don't like Deion Sanders, okay? But he said the same thing about what I just said kind of a little bit about the defense. I mean, he's the guy now. He's the guy who's now going to take it. Ray Lewis and Ed Reed are getting old. All right, so someone's got to kind of take over the leadership of that football team. Why not be Joe Flacco? Guess what? He's a quarterback. That's what they're supposed to do.
Well, Sonny, you hit it right on to what I was talking about or leading up to. It did come up, and he said, "You're the leader now." And what did Joe Flacco say? Oh, no.
Nope.
That's right, Sonny. What did he say?
He said, "No, this is still Ray's team." And say what you want. That's lip service, okay? And that's fine. And that's what Joe should do. One of the problems with doing interviews with athletes is you're not going to get a true answer until they retire, okay? That's just the way it is. We've had some great interviews with retired players. I don't like really interviewing active players because they're not going to give you the truth, okay? They're going to give you what sounds politically correct and what will make their other parts of their team and make him look good, instead of going, "Hell yeah, I'm the leader of this team," and he should be. But he's came out and said, I'm just as good as any other quarterback in this league. And right now, he's kind of showing it right now as their scorekeeper.
Sonny, and when he said that, I was genuinely surprised. That's not bravado. That was confidence.
Uh-huh.
He's been quiet for a long time, and he said it. He said it, that I'm just as good. I'm like, wow, way to go, dude.
That's coconuts of steel, and that's a good thing, because it goes along with the bravado of this team. This bravado is about a tough team. This is about, you know, having the cojones to go out and say, yeah, we're the best in the world. And Ray Lewis has always been that. Ed Reed has always been a guy that's been the same way. They needed a tough guy. And believe me, looking at Joe Flacco for the last 4 years compared to this year, I mean, now Joe Flacco looks like a rugged quarterback. He looks like a guy who's been through hell and back. And you know what? I think the Baltimore Ravens are going to be a team that you know, I like I said, I'll pick the Patriots until someone beats them. Guess what? This is about as close as it's going to get, I think.
Wow, Sonny. Thank you for that. I was about to ask you that. I mean, what are we looking prognosis now? And you already gave us a taste of it. Big dog. Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports, said it clearly. I don't know if you've seen Joe Flacco lately, but dude, this guy is not a little kid anymore. This guy is a dude. Big dog, have you noticed? He does look, and I hate these words and stuff, but it seems to be appropriate. This guy looks like he's been to hell and back. He's battered. This guy looks like a warrior, big dog.
Yeah, and you know, it's good that he's finally shown, like the way Sonny was saying, you know, he was very inconsistent. One good year, one bad year. It was kind of like the Chargers wrapped up in a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But this year he has been showing a lot. He seemed like he's, I don't know what it was that gave him the confidence over the summer. Maybe he got an epiphany or something that all of a sudden he realized he's as good as everybody else is out there, as good as the premier quarterback, and he's starting to show it this year. I have seen highlights of him. He looks really good. I mean, and all that can be is just a plug for the Ravens because, you know, like I said, as Sonny said, having that defense able to get more reps, you know, is going to be bad for all the other teams because they're damn good as it is now.
Yeah, and just take up on top of that, big dog, when you look at the Ravens and they're getting older, the defense does need more rest. I mean, Ray Lewis can't go on forever, and that's only going to, you know, set themselves up to be a better football team all around, okay, defensively, offensively, and their special teams is one of the best in the NFL. You can say what you want about the defense and everything else, but don't overlook the special teams of this team. They don't let them get field position on a punt. They don't let them be able to run back to football. This is a tough football team, and I think the Patriots might have met their match this year.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Baltimore Ravens. We are definitely not fans of the Ravens in our respective corners over here, but we do admire talented teams that even have a little bit of bravado to match up with their skill. And the Baltimore Ravens, you've just heard a wonderful conversation, ladies and gentlemen. If anything, if you are even a casual fan of football, you have to watch Ray Lewis at work. I'm not talking about Joe Flacco. This is a man who is obviously on the not necessarily the sunset of his career, but this is a guy that's on the downward slope. And this guy hits still. I remember Ronnie Lott when he came over to the Raiders. And I think he was already about 35 or 36, Sonny. And Ronnie Lott would still clean the clock of a lot of these guys. And that's what Ray Lewis does now. And far be it for me to compare the two, I'm just saying that Ronnie Lott had that even in his final years. He was still decking these guys, man.
Yep.
And that's what Ray Lewis is doing today.
Yep. And that's a good comparison because when you take a look at the teams that they were on, the Oakland Raiders were known as that, you know, get down and dirty kind of team. You know, they go out there and they do what they got to do to win. And that's what the difference was. It's kind of the same way Ronnie Lott is. And that's a good comparison, too, because but here's one thing I don't want to see. I don't want to see Ray Lewis on another football team. And I don't know if that will end up happening. I don't know if he'll do that for the good of the team and good of the franchise. But I don't want to see Ray Lewis on a different football team. But, you know, at the twilight of his career, I mean, really, to be honest, anybody would take a Ray Lewis just to have the name on the football team because of the experience. He won't be really picked up if he played anymore because of his talent after maybe next year. They would pick him up because of the name and his leadership role that he does bring to a defense. And you could say what you want about his delivery on that kind of stuff, But whatever the case may be, he gets teams fired up, he gets his defense fired up, and you can say what you also want about their defensive coordinator, who's now the head coach over in the Jets. They didn't need Rex Ryan to be good. They were already good, and he makes a defensive – that team right there defensively makes a defensive coordinator look better than they really are.
Ladies and gentlemen, lots of love for the Baltimore Ravens this morning. I got to tell you, it really is exciting. Football season has just started. They opened up the fourth week yesterday. I'm sorry, on Thursday. And I don't know how much time we have with the couch potato, but I think he's going to go do something. And when he comes back, I think we'll get into some more football news. As you can tell, Big Dog, I think I'm a lot more prepared than I've been in a long time, huh, Big Dog?
Well, you're just feeling better, I think. But actually, I wanted to see if I can get Couch's take on this. I don't know if he's heard about it, since he's over, of course, in the great country of Dallas. But, Sonny, have you heard about the Bountygate 2 thing going, scandal going on?
I didn't know. I haven't. It kind of filled me in, and maybe I'm just not thinking of it as Bountygate. There's something going on out there as far as teams figuring out how to cheat with the replacement refs, but I don't know if there's like another bounty situation going on.
Well, there is another bounty situation, but it's not the NFL. It's happening actually here in California, in Tustin, California. The Pee Wee version of the NFL bounty system.
I read that. Yes, I did read that. It was in Yahoo. I did read it, and I don't know what it is. I'll just briefly jump into this because I do got to go. You have to realize this is the nature of the sports, okay? Sports in general. It's not just football. It can be basketball, and it can be baseball, I mean, to a certain point. That's just the way it is. Whether it's incentives to play better, you know, they're going to call it bounty. I don't know however they do it, but on that level, it seems a little bit silly to me, I guess, but to tell them to go out and hurt players. And I didn't really get deep into that article there, Big Dog. But if that's what I'm okay with hard-nosed sports, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, you know, sliding into home, doing whatever you got to do. I'm into that. That's what sports is, in my opinion. That takes you from the average player to an upper echelon player, and that's where I kind of look at it. But when you're actually out there to intentionally hurt somebody, that's where the problem comes into sports. So you got to have a little sportsmanship when you are playing sports, at least I think. Now, before I got to go, because I do got to go, just something for the Big Dog to think about. Kelly Kelly has been released from the WWE.
Yes, I saw that.
So I thought I would, in case you didn't know that, I thought I would let you go. And this is Sonny Clark. I'll try to get back in when we get set up over at my daughter's practice.
Thank you, Sonny.
And just a real quick shout out to Kelly Kelly. You have a need a place to live? Come on over. I got a spot for you right next to me. No problem.
That's what I was waiting for, Big Dog.
Oh, wait a minute. Kelly Kelly?
Yes.
Kelly Kelly is a she.
Yes, Kelly Kelly is a she, and she's a hottie totty.
Now, is she a wrestler or one of the wrestling girls?
She's both.
Yes.
She's both.
Ladies and gentlemen, for only the second time in NDB media history, our first job was to Sarah Palin. We now offer Kelly Kelly a job right here with NDB Media.
Hey, by the way, one of her moves in the ring is the stink face, and I don't know. I'd be in that long line up to be getting stink faced by Kelly Kelly.
Oh,
I don't know.
I would definitely
just
say.
Anyway, all right, I'll catch you later, gentlemen.
Thank you, Sonny Clark. And as a matter of fact, on the other side, we're going to bring him on from the East Coast. The man is there. He's just listening in. I'm going to bring him on because I love doing it. He is Brian Allen Barakas. I should play the A-team for him. I know. What the hell? I don't have one. Do I have the A-team? I should. Why do I have the A-team? Come on, Big Dog. Help me out here. Do you have the A-team?
No.
Aw. Okay, here we go.
You're slipping, guys. Slipping.
Good morning, Brian. How you doing, pal?
Oh, good. How are y'all? Sorry, I'm a little late. I was overslept today.
No, not at all. He's overslept. Are you kidding me? Okay, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. He is B.A. Baracus.
In 1972, a crack commander...
About the time he was born.
...by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still
or
wanted
Georgia.
By the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem...
That's their college
no
football program.
Help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Otherwise known as Brian Allen! From the East Coast. Sorry, Brian, I got to work that one out. How you doing, pal?
Oh, good. How are y'all doing?
Again,
no,
doing
not bad.
Very well. I was listening to your program yesterday, you and Cuervo. Wow, I was giving props to Sonny, and Sonny says, oh, I forgot. I think that settles our conversations, Brian. Sonny flat out said he forgot. He forgot. Unbelievable.
Come on, Sonny. I was trying to do the show driving in downtown Atlanta traffic on the interstate. It was a little nerve-wracking.
Oh, I bet. Sounded good, though. And then Big Dog, this is how evil I am. The minute I heard Brian on, you know, oh, and Cuervo had a nice, neat intro. See, mine is a little on the shoddy side. Cuervo had a BCS intro for Brian. I thought it was cool. Full band marching in and everything. And what does he get over here? He gets the A-Team. Oh, man. Tell you, two different worlds.
We spare no expenses here.
Oh, hell, that's right. We spend 99 cents on our iTunes themes. But it was a lot of fun listening to the two. And as Brian said, he was dealing with the harrowing traffic. And the minute he's online, then I sent him like 50 text messages. So I'm like, well, if he's at home, he'll eventually be able to respond to them. But now I know why he was dealing with the traffic. So tell me, Brian.
I'm thinking about Stacey Keibler now that y'all talked about Kelly. I'm just thinking about my favorite wrestler of all time.
Oh, yeah, Stacey, yeah. In fact, she's a big Baltimore Ravens fan because she used to be a Baltimore Ravens cheerleader.
Yeah, that's the best wrestler I've ever seen.
Okay, hold on a minute. You guys talk about that real quick. I've got to look up Kelly and Stacey Keibler.
True.
Yeah, Stacey was a better wrestler than Kelly, but I was kind of partial to Trish Stratus and maybe Lita.
Keyboard.
She had the longer legs and everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Stacey had those gorgeous, humongous legs, long legs, yeah. You know, I was sad to see her leave, but, you know, it's good that she's doing well, and, of course, she's dating George Clooney.
Stacey Keibler is the one with George Clooney?
Yes.
Oh, what a waste.
Oh, my God, that's right. You told me about her. Yeah, that's why I just gave up on it. I was like, wow. Wow. Does she take a bad photo?
Stacey? No. She doesn't.
Wow.
Clooney, what is he, about 85 years old now?
Don't exaggerate. He's only 83. Okay,
actually,
who's the other one? Kelly?
Yes, Kelly.
Okay, go on, guys. Continue talking, by all means.
So what was Sonny talking about? Was he talking about that hit on Matt Schaub the other day?
Yeah, we were talking. Was that the hit? The last thing we were talking about, well, I don't know if you heard about it either. There's a bounty gate going on over here in Southern California with the Pop Warner League. A bunch of 10 and 11-year-olds, and it looks like the coach and the league president have both been suspended by Orange County because they're investigating it because they say that they were paying the kids off to hurt the other team players.
Well, those guys need to be put in jail, the coaches and the father, all the parents involved in that. They need to be put in jail, do some jail time.
They're talking about it. Evidently, there was some sort of investigation earlier in the year, but it was done by the president who just got suspended. So they're thinking maybe it was covered up. But essentially what it was is they're saying that the coach, the head coach of the Tustin Peewee Red Cobras, and the coach's name is Darren Crawford, and the president is Pat Gallantine. They've both been suspended because they're both been accused of paying off the players to actually go out and hurt the quarterbacks and running backs of the other team to take the kids out. You know, little kids taking other kids out. I mean, I agree. I mean, something like that for kids that small, that's just not kosher.
So I wonder if this would have happened if this bounty gate hadn't been broadcasted on every channel, every sports show, talk show, ESPN. I wonder if these coaches would have known about doing that, or do you think it's just in people to do that in general?
You know, I think they brought it to the forefront, but evidently it says earlier in the year, so I'm not sure if it was before the bounty gate, but it says a bunch of the opposing team's parents. I guess that they said that they heard rumors of the kids being paid off, and then they actually got an assistant coach by the name of Richard Bowman that played, I guess he was a coach on the Cobra team, and he said, yes, it was true that they were paying their kids off. So I think it just took off from there.
Wow.
Brian, to answer your question, I believe it has a lot to do with the fact that Bounty Gate was on there. I'm not sure if you you know, on the news. I'm not sure if you were there with us when I was talking about the fact when Bounty Gate first really made the news. I had made the statement of, I think you were, when I said, hey, guys, listen to the rest of the league. No one is throwing any stones. No one is, you know, crying foul and saying, why does that team play? They weren't. Remember, Big Dog, I said the silence is deafening from the rest of the league because they all do it. And over the years, I had even talked about it myself. Remember the joke, Big Dog? Every time a big game was coming up, you know, I said, hey, if I'm on that team, I whip out the $500 bottle of liquor, and I say, okay, here you go, guys. The guy who takes out the quarterback, he gets this bottle. I mean, I've been talking about this for years. This is what you do. But I never said kill him or, you know, do whatever. But the guy that gets him out of the game, you know, hey, you know. But what I was trying to say is that for anyone to believe that it does not happen is stupid and foolish. It happens. It is the way it is. I've been talking about this forever about baseball, forever and a day. You hit my guy, I'm going to hit two of yours. I was the assassin on my teams. I was the guy that came in to hit batters because I knew how to hit them. I've gone into great detail, Big Dog, right, on how to hit batters.
Yes, you have.
It's relatively easy. Just aim for the small of their back because most of them are little pussies anyway. They're going to jump out, back out, so hit them while they're going out. That's how you hit a batter. You aim for the small of their back because they're going to back into it anyway. But you never throw at their head. You always throw into their ribs, into their legs. Their arms, well, that's collateral damage. But the only time, and I have thrown up and in, and you throw up and in when they give you attitude and when they cross the line themselves. That's the only time you throw up and in. But for me to sit here and tell you that I never threw up and in, baloney. I threw up and in, much and often. You establish order and you keep these punks in line. You let the players settle the things. That's what I've always said.
And a lot of the time the players, I mean, they know what's happening too. Do you remember that one about a month or maybe 2 months ago when Euclid was, he got hit? He was going to get hit, but remember the pitcher threw closer to his head and he got all pissed off and was like, yelling at the pitcher, was like, he was pointing to his ribs and his hips saying, like, throw the ball here. Don't aim at my head. Throw it at my hips. You remember that?
Yes, I do, Big Dog, Aaron. That was earlier in the season, almost at the beginning of the season, yes.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, the players know. The players, they know and they expect it. But you're right, you know, there's the places where you're going to throw and you're going to go after the pitcher or the hitter because they already know they're going to get hit, so they accept the thing.
And Big Dog, that was the amazing thing. The guy, Euclid, knew he was the target, knew he was going to go down, and he didn't rush the mound. He educated the pitcher and say, hey, stupid, in the ribs. That is unbelievable that he was educating the opposing pitcher. Unbelievable. You're right, Big Dog.
So, you know. But, you know, these kids are stupid anyway, so it's not like they're going to listen. But that bounty gate system is just, you know, it's hard to believe. I was just really surprised that, you know, they're trying to train, you know, 10, 11-year-old kids to take other kids out. I mean...
Well, Brian, you said something about these guys should be arrested straight out.
Yeah, you're hurting kids. You know, you're teaching innocent kids to hurt other innocent kids, and it's a game. Now, in the NFL, I mean, these guys are getting paid. It's still bad, don't get me wrong, but we're talking about kids that don't really know how to defend themselves or really make decisions for themselves. So it's a bad thing when an adult crosses that line over, and I just can't stand hearing that.
You know, guys, it's, you know, Big Dog, I'm going to have to look at it myself. I missed it this week. I agree with Brian. I know I can take some extreme sides, but I don't think this is an extreme side. This is a sport, and you're teaching kids basically to maim and hurt others, where they're being paid to take out guys when they're 10 or 11. Give me a break. Guys, I've talked about this forever. There's a fine line in high school. When these guys are already high school kids, the language is, take them out, kill them, do this and this. It's hyperbole. But everyone knows that you're supposed to get the man in front of you, hit him, and take him down. Not to hurt. Hit him as hard as you can, but you take him down. Anyone who says that they're out to kill him is stupid. It's the language of the spoken. Anyone who's played the sport, who has seen the sport, knows it. Now, when you get into football, obviously it's different. When they're actually giving you bonuses to hurt players, that's bad. It generally starts in high school, where you're supposed to do your job. And, Brian, what's the job in high school? Take your guy out, right? But it's not to hurt him or kill him, right?
Well, it's to take him out. It's not to hurt him.
Right. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. I've been there to events where the coaches say, get him, hit him, put him down. That's the language they use, right?
Yeah, and I coach basketball, and my, when I tell them to foul hard, foul to, you know, make them miss a few plays of the game, you know, rattle their cage a little bit, not to try to injure them to a point where they can't play basketball again.
Oh, that was so clear, Brian. Big Dog, how many times have we said that? You got to rattle their cage, right?
Oh, yeah. Let them know you're there.
I mean, Big Dog and I have been watching basketball games both on TV and together, and we've said, dude, foul him! Don't do that pussy foul! You're right. Rattle their cage. And that's kind of the way it is in baseball. Some players go too far, and that's where the justice or the enforcement of the rules takes place in the sport. You have a dirty player on the field, what's going to happen, guys? Everyone in the league is going to take that guy out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way, you know, welcome to the NFL, baby. If you're going to be a little jerk, you're going to be a little punk, you've been here and you're going to play that way, you're going to have everyone against you. And then the team's got to defend you when you're a punk? Uh-uh. Those guys learn real quick how to play the game. But it's not a good thing, ladies and gentlemen, for them to be doing that in the Little League sport. Big Dog, do you have anything else on that as far as the Little League stuff?
No, just that the investigations are ongoing right now. As I said, the head coach and the president of the league have been suspended. And I guess as it gets further on, they say this will take about 3 to 4 weeks for an investigation to be done. And we'll hear more about it later because I started seeing it in the news starting late last night. So it is starting getting media attention now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wish to compliment both Brian and RoboDog right here. Kelly is hot in every which way. The images, when you just pull up Kelly, are, wow, they're good. But I will say that Stacey Keibler, if I were to be, what's the word, lotto winner enough, lucky, it would have to be Stacey Keibler for me.
Thank you.
Big Dog?
Oh, yeah. I even take Stacey Cooper. I love those legs, and she also has that ass of hers that just doesn't end, so I'm fine.
Oh, that's funny because I hadn't actually noticed it. I mean, but, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I know we're being guys and stuff, but in all honesty, I know we glorify the beauty and everything, but genuinely, These are two absolutely gorgeous women, all American in every which way. They're gorgeous. I mean, they're beautiful girls. These are the kind of girls that don't need makeup to look beautiful, you know?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. That's just my humble opinion. But it's a sports topic, so it's fair. Like I said, everything is fair here on Sports Talk with the Guys, so it's all good. Brian, is there anything you want to discuss before we get back to some baseball right now?
No. I'm ready for some baseball.
Cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as we began to discuss it earlier, we just went to the Ravens game just for a bit, but we're going to go back to baseball. We are generally taking a look at the National League. We were talking about the Dodgers and the deal. I remember, Big Dog, that as soon as that deal took place, remember what I said, the ramifications? Even if this deal goes bad, who did they get? One of the best first basemen in baseball, right?
Yep.
And sure enough, if I'm not mistaken, Adrian Gonzalez has delivered as a Los Angeles Dodger, because that pitcher has not done anything for them.
No, well, the Dodgers, of course, are having problems with all their pitchers. You know, their number one and number two guys are out right now and probably will not be back. And you're right. Everybody was already anointing them the, not even the West, the Western Conference champion, but the National League champion. And you and I were a little bit apprehensive about it. We were quite ready to do that, and it did show. I mean, we kind of figured they might need a season for them to gel together. This is thrown up towards the very last day of the, or the last hour, actually, the trading deadline. And these guys just haven't gelled, and the Dodgers have had a lot of injuries. They were in first place for a while, but then the Giants the Giants of 2 years ago came back. And they took command, and they are pretty hot right now, the Giants. They're 8-2 in the last 10 games. So I believe they are the hottest team in baseball other than Tampa Bay, who are also 8 out of 10. But Tampa Bay's not going anywhere, so.
Well, as a matter of fact, St. Louis is 8 of 10 as well. So you're right. Tampa Bay is 8 of 10. Yeah, you're right, Big Dog. I mean, relatively speaking, I'm not sure how many they've lost in a row, or one in a row, but yeah, the Giants, wow. So much for the loss of Melky Cabrera. So much. They've done very well for themselves.
Yes, and speaking of Melky, the Giants announced yesterday that since they are into the playoffs, and of course Melky has 5 games left on his suspension, which everybody would say maybe would be the first round of the playoffs, the Giants announced yesterday that they will not bring Melky back for the playoffs in any situation. So he is out of the playoffs. Of course, he gave a statement saying that he felt bad about it, but of course he supports his team. And I think this is the Giants' way of saying, you know, hey, you know, you're a cheater, and we're not going to bring a cheater into the team that may be winning another title. So Melky's off the team in the playoffs. How do you feel about that?
I'm a bit surprised by that, but I'm happy. But, Big Dog, this is the world of politically correct stuff. This is the difference between Barry Bonds and Melky Cabrera. Everyone knew Barry Bonds was doing it, but was there ever any proof? No. And as I said, that comedian, I forget his name right now, he was on Maher's program where he says, hey, you can't get a speeding ticket for last week. And it's true, whether he was speeding or not, whether he was taking the drugs or not, he never tested positive. I feel in my heart that he took steroids. I mean, my wife was watching. I mean, and I followed his home run totals. When he broke Hank Aaron's, we were watching, my wife and I. And it was funny because they stopped the game, and you're watching this video of Barry Bonds and his whole career, and my wife did a double take. Wait a minute, who's that guy? That's Barry Bonds. She's like, but his head's so big. And I said, bingo. Even she, who didn't know very much about it other than what I was telling her, could pick it out. Pick it out, baby. So, and now, as you've shown us, Big Dog, his head looks normal again, right?
Yes, it does.
It does indeed, ladies and gentlemen. So the difference between Barry Bonds and Melky Cabrera is one was actually found to test positive, and they cannot deal with Melky Cabrera right now.
Yeah, Brian, what do you feel about that? I mean, are you surprised, or do you agree or disagree with them not keeping him on the roster?
Well, I mean, yeah, I disagree. a little bit. I think that, I mean, like you said about Barry Bonds, I think he made a mistake and everything, but he's still a part of that team, you know. So.
Okay.
And right now, the Giants just have to distance themselves from that, and that's why they've done it. Honestly, guys, he did a suspension. He almost said everything correctly that he was supposed to, but it is what it is. Brian, I will tell you right now, I do not agree it's a mistake. It was not a mistake. The only reason why it's a mistake is because the idiot couldn't get NDB Media to falsify a website for him. That was his mistake. But as far as him making a mistake, nah, he did it by his own volition. People tend to say that when they get caught, oh, I made a mistake. No, you didn't. You made a mistake getting caught, you idiot. It was intentional. A mistake is when you choose B instead of A on the multiple guess test. You know,
he may have said it was a mistake, and you might have maybe believed him that it was a mistake up until the fact when it came out that he tried to falsify a website. He tried to make up a website to hide it. Now, if it was a mistake, what are you trying to – why are you trying to hide it?
Yeah, well, again, his mistake was not contacting NDB Media because we have several websites that are several years in age and are just on standby. I have several of them, and I could have said, well, yeah, they've been active, and, yeah, he purchased some vitamins from us. Hell yeah. We could have covered for him and said, hey, we saw vitamins. We didn't know if they were legal or not. He paid good money. That's what we would have done, but be that as it may, that's the only reason, and we've drawn a line with that. I know what you're saying, Brian, but it's even subtle that I go as far as saying, no, you know what, they knew what they were doing. They knew it, and everyone uses the word mistake to cover up their own stupidity, quite frankly. And ignorance is not, what do they say in the law? Ignorance is not, what, Big Dog?
Bliss.
Oh, haha. Ignorance is not an excuse, or ignorance is not a... something about the law. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we've given you the playoff picture. There's a lot of stuff going on. I will be doing some of the playoff games on LetMeHearYou.com. I am looking for that opportunity. I can't wait. I know I will be. I'm just looking forward to it. In the American League, guys, as we've gone over it, the Texas Rangers, 92-65, clearly the best team in the American League. They're three games ahead of Oakland and five games ahead of the Angels. They have not qualified for the playoffs nor for the division title, any of those teams. In the Central, wow, take it in the short, Chicago. Detroit's ahead of you guys after a colossal failure. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games after they were in first by quite a few games. And in the American League West, I'm sorry, in the East, you have the Yankees, who also have not qualified, nor division title, ahead of Baltimore and Tampa Bay by 1 and 5 games, respectively. In the wild card, Baltimore is +1, Oakland also has a spot, and the Angels are 2, Tampa Bay 3, and Chicago 6. Wow, guys, this is what the playoffs are doing. There are a lot of teams that are still involved. Let me see. In the National League, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 teams still in the hunt in the National League. And in the American League, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow, guys. Doesn't get much better than that, does it?
Well, I like the excitement this game has brought. This extra wild card has really made it exciting, guys.
Yeah, and Brian, I agree with you 100%. And if the Big Dog remembers, I was against the wild card from the very – well, no, wait. No, I was against the second wild card. I was cool with the first wild card because they were adding divisions and stuff. But I am very much against this next one. But, ladies and gentlemen, in 1995, the first time the wild card came out, oh, my God, there were like 10 teams, 12 teams still in the playoff hunt. And right now, there are, by my own count, 15 teams, guys. 15 teams fighting for the playoffs. Big Dog, tell me. Speak.
It's not clearly quite that much. In the National League, there's only four, Atlanta and St. Louis, and then the Dodgers and Milwaukee. Milwaukee has five games out with six games to go. Arizona is six games out with five games to go, so they are mathematically out of the wild card.
Big Dog, you're 100% right, but I meant that we'll be going to the playoffs. Sorry that I didn't clear that up. For the wild card, you're right. There's only four teams, and in the American League, there's five teams. But
you're talking about actually vying for the playoffs, yes.
Yeah,
there's,
the entire playoff picture. Yeah, there's, like I said, about 15 teams. This is incredibly exciting. Brian, are you going to be catching any of the baseball games this weekend?
Sure. I'm going to flip back and forth between, you know, football and some of the important baseball games. So I love college football and NFL, but I still love baseball as well.
Oh, heck yeah. Big Dog, I guess you're going to have to watch some baseball for me, pal, because I'm not going to be around.
Well, they probably have a satellite up there.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 6:56 a.m. Got a lot of stuff, some exciting stuff we're going to go over very quickly. Yesterday in baseball, the Cincinnati Reds turned a no-hitter yesterday, and as they said on the news, Mama and Daddy misnamed their boy from the Cincinnati Reds, Homer Bailey. Yeah, I thought that was good. Homer Bailey threw a 1-0 no-hitter. It was one error away from a perfect game. Wow, this was the line for Homer Bailey yesterday. He did walk one guy later. But nine innings, no hits, no runs, no earned. He did walk one, so the no-hitter the perfect game was out with the error and the walk, and he struck out 10. It's his 13th win. He beat A.J. Burnett of the Pirates. Ladies and gentlemen, congratulations to the Reds. This is their first no-hitter since 1988 when Tom Browning threw a no-hitter, and I believe that was a perfect game. And I don't know who he threw it against. Could have been against the Phillies or, hell, even against the Dodgers. Dodgers get no-hit a lot. But this is, like, I think the Reds have the most no-hitters in all of baseball. I think it's their 15th no-hitter and clearly well ahead of everyone. While they are the oldest team in all of baseball, so go figure. It was a big deal. I remember when we lost 1-0 and our pitcher pitched a game like A.J. Burnett did. This is a time when the entire team turns around, shows their butt to A.J. Burnett, and A.J. Burnett gets a chance to beat the crap out of all of them. Big Dog, I've always said the greatest crime in baseball is when the opposing pitcher loses 1-0, right, dude? Because he did his job.
Yeah.
He only gave him one run and he lost. That's the crime in baseball. Go ahead, Big Dog.
No, actually, what I was going to ask you is, do you feel that with Dusty Baker out, will it make a difference in the playoffs, or did the Reds have no chance? And, of course, Dusty Baker has had that heart problem, and it turns out that they said now he had a mini-stroke last week when he was in Chicago, and they took him to the hospital because of his irregular heartbeat. So now they're saying it was a mini-stroke that he had along with the heart problem. And it's going to be unknown whether he's going to be making it back for the playoffs. He, of course, is saying yes, he will. But the medical staff and the Cincinnati Reds are saying, you know, they're more concerned about his long-term health rather than him coming back too soon and maybe putting too much stress on his body. Do you feel that they had a chance with him, or did they make no difference with him or without him?
Only because Dusty Baker has been there before. You want a good hand at the helm. And, you know, I'm neutral towards Dusty Baker. I like him as a player. And, guys, say what you want about Dusty Baker. The guy wins. So far be it for me to take anything away from Dusty Baker. I am bummed that he had the heart problems, and now that he had a minor stroke. Yeah. I mean, a guy who's talking right now, the scorekeeper, knows what stroke is in his family. I know what strokes can do. It has left my mother disabled, and my father was not the same after his so-called minor stroke. And this takes, well, in the case of my mother, there basically is no recovery. She is disabled forever. She needs 100% 24-hour care. She speaks, she's lucid, everything, but the fact is she cannot walk, and her entire left side is disabled. On my father's side, he was never the same. He just never was. And the whether it was a minor stroke or... I mean, my father had a light stroke, and he was down for 6 months. So, guys, what's a mini stroke? You know what I mean? is a mini stroke? Big dog, go for it, and then Brian, come in on it. I hope Dusty Baker, again, I hope Dusty Baker is, in fact, it was a mini times 100 mini stroke, so he can come back. But, guys, as fans, think about the pressure that you, Big Dog, you, Brian, and me, Scorekeeper, think about we as fans, the pressure that we have when we're watching our games. Imagine what it is for the manager.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's 1,000 times worse, you know, because their jobs are on the line, you know. And as you said, I mean, he's good at what he does. I mean, he does win. You know, he's had some, you know, people talk about maybe his managing skills and maybe some of his decisions. But in the end of the day, I mean, he does win. You know, he's usually contending for the playoffs. And, you know, I loved him as a player. I loved him as a Dodger when he was here with the Dodgers. And that's why I kind of followed him through his managerial career. But you're right. You know, I hope that it's the smallest of many strokes, if that's at all possible. They really didn't explain what a mini stroke was.
Yeah.
or the fact what exactly are any of his symptoms, if he has any. That was also was not said. Dusty really is not talking right now. Not that he can. It's just he's not giving any interviews. Everything is being done through the Reds organization. So I believe he's probably home and resting and probably, knowing him, probably kind of itching to come back. I mean, you know, knowing the where the Reds are right now and the fact that he could, like you said, with his experience, can help him out. So he's probably itching to come back, and the doctor is probably holding him back because that's what's best for him.
Brian, go ahead.
I love Dusty Baker, guys. I always called him the lizard. He always had that toothpick in the dugout. He looked like a lizard always. Just a great manager, man. I like Dusty Baker. And, yeah, mini stroke. That's like having mini cancer, you know. I mean, it's...
Yeah,
it's cancer. You know, I feel bad for the guy. I wish him the best, especially in getting better. Because I've never been a fan, but I've always respected Dusty Baker.
There you go. Yeah,
yes.
I've not exactly been a fan, but yes, I respect the guy a great deal. He wins, guys. And look, he doesn't have the best teams with him, and they're usually competitive. That says it for itself. This is not a guy that follows the money and goes to the big money teams. No, he's fought for where he is, and, you know, his record speaks for itself. And speaking for oneself, the Couch Potato is back in the chat room. Thank you for joining us, sir. If you're going to call us, well, you know what to do. But that is the news on Dusty Baker. I like that. Mini stroke, mini cancer. I mean, what is that, guys? What is that? Hopefully he is going to recover. But whenever you use the word stroke, Big Dog,
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I don't see it. And unless it truly is a mini times 10, then maybe. I'd like to see him in the playoffs. It's a bummer that they're going in and going in very well. But, hey, Red Sox, I mean, Reds Nation, are the Reds actually the – oh, son of a – they're tied with Washington as the
– Yes, they are. I didn't want to say it. They are tied with Washington for the best record in all of baseball.
All right, whatever. Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, it is what it is. A lot of stuff is going on right now. Francona is now on Cleveland's list. Terry Francona has joined interim manager Sandy Alomar Jr. as a candidate to become manager of the Cleveland Indians. One day after Manny Acta was fired, general manager Chris Antonetti said both were candidates and others currently employed by both teams could become part of the search. Terry Francona, you got treated badly in Boston. I hope you get the job. I don't know how Sandy Alomar is doing, but, hey, I think he's a good guy. He got the shaft with Boston. And, hey, it is what it is. Weaver won his 20th game. Props there, big dog, for the Angels. Weaver is having a fine season at 20-4 with a 2.73 ERA. Those are excellent numbers, boys and girls.
And he literally owns the Texas Rangers. One of the guys I work with is a Texas Rangers fan, and according to him, he says Weaver has a record of something like 100 wins and no losses against the Rangers.
Knowing, of course, that Weaver has not won 100 games in the major leagues.
Exactly. But evidently, he said Weaver owns the Rangers and has owned them for like 5 years, and nothing they can do can stop them. So it was a great win. Weaver's been having a great, great season, Cy Young potential, and we'll see what happens there. But what I do want to mention real quick is one of our listeners, one of our dedicated listeners, Salt, is, of course, going to have another bad season, as he is a diehard Pittsburgh Pirates fan. And we talked about it so much, how they were having such a great season. They were in playoff contention up until maybe about a month ago, and all of a sudden the bottom dropped out. And we were hoping for the playoffs, and then they were out of the playoffs, so then we were saying, okay, well, at least they're going to have a .500 season. Well, that looks like that's gone, too, because now the Pittsburgh Pirates are 76 wins, 81 losses. So they are now 5 games under .500, and they are not looking to get out of it soon because they are 2 wins and 8 losses in the last 10, and I don't even think they've looked that good.
No, they have not, yeah. Big dog. If the Pirates win the last 5 games, they will end up 81-81, and that would qualify as a .500 or better season.
Yes.
That means that will break their streak if they win their last 5 games.
Ain't going to happen. I'm sorry to say.
No, not at all. Not a chance.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you guys. I mean, anything's possible. We know it. We've seen it. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's not going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, Clayton Kershaw did win for the Dodgers yesterday. So he is back, big dog. He did beat the Rockies 8-0. He went 8 innings, 5 hits, walked 2, and struck out 10. So he is back to the playoffs. So we'll see what's going on. But that's what we have in baseball, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to go over any of this stuff. Yes.
Yeah, actually I did. There was one I wanted to talk about. Let's see. You are the scorekeeper, of course.
Ouch.
And you probably have heard about this, but Adam Greenberg gets a second chance. Do you remember him?
I sure do.
Well, the same team that took him out, it was an accident, of course. And those who don't know, Adam Greenberg made his major league debut 7 years ago, and on the very first pitch took one to the back of the head or the side of the head and was never the same ever again. It was 7 years, 2 months, and 24 days after he was brought up, and he was hit with a 92-mile-an-hour fastball to the back of the head, suffered post-concussion syndrome, vomiting, nausea, dizziness, and everything, so never made it back. Well, it was the Florida Marlins that he was up against, and now it is the Florida Marlins, or excuse me, the Miami Marlins, who are giving him a second chance. I believe it's Sunday. He will have his second professional at-bat with the Marlins, and we'll see what he does. Scorekeeper, any thoughts on that? Good, bad, indifferent, the matter?
No, big dog. No. This is a big deal. This is huge. This kid almost lost his life, and he's going to get a chance to bat again. This is huge, guys. Remember, players don't always recover. I don't know if you guys remember, 1983, Mike Torres nailed Dickie Thon, an awesome upcoming star with the Houston Astros, a shortstop, nailed him in the face. And I believe he shattered his cheekbones or something, big dog. And
I believe
he never really effectively came back. I mean, hits to the head, guys. I mean, it's the most horrible thing. Look, I'm not going to say I'm traumatized or I suffer from the couch potatoes mad cow disease, but let me tell you, when you're pitching and you're 60 feet 6 inches away and you throw one and you groove it and the batter almost takes your head off, I mean, you know, you duck and you're sitting up on your wallet on the mound and you're thinking about that. And that was just close. What happens when you get hit? Guys, for those of you that have been in car accidents, and you know I've been in them, in a car accident that I walked away from in 2010, Couch Potato remembers it, Big Dog remembers it. Did I do a Saturday program, Big Dog, after that accident? No, huh?
You did, but you were very... I pretty much did the show.
Yeah, huh? I walked away from a car accident on a Thursday. I was in on Saturday, but guys, I had the physical stuff to deal with. I didn't have broken anything other than maybe I really, really, even to this day, I flinch when I hear brakes because I haven't gotten over it. So, guys, think about that. That was a car accident. My vehicle was totaled. I walked away from it. I can only imagine what this guy is going through. I don't know. Big Dog, I know you've been in the few. I don't know about Couch Potato Brian, but, dude, as far as I'm concerned, this is a big deal, and I hope this guy can be up there and he can just maybe stick around for a while and try to enjoy his dream. Brian, go ahead.
No, I mean, it is a big deal, and the fact that he's coming back after that, because, you know, the mental part of it, I mean, does he really want to step in there and take another one, you know, in the head? So, thing with athletes, they're stubborn people, you know, they want to get back in and they want to win. So I think that's the thing that I respect the most in coming back and facing his fears, really.
Yeah, and Big Dog, you know, if I were the pitcher that he had to face first, I would be the most nervous guy on that. You know why?
That's true.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'm not exactly pinpoint accurate, and they can get away from me from time to time. Nothing against Mr. Greenberg, but I think the worst guy in the entire world is going to be the guy that has to face him, because he knows. Everyone told him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that guy wants to groove one right down the middle, but he's going to be thinking the worst thing that you can do is throw one inside. And if this guy is a punk and he were to throw inside – oh, man, if I'm on Greenberg's team, I'm rushing out and kicking the crap out of that pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I'm charging the mound as soon as it gets close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if I'm the pitcher looking at the deer, it got away, it got away. I would run off the mound. Because it's just you. Guys, homie don't play that, okay? This is something, you know what? You groove a fastball in there. You let him look at it. I mean, this is what I would do, seriously. I groove a fastball right down the middle of the plate. Let him get a taste of it. Throw him a curveball on the outside. And, you know, stay out. Stay in and out. Don't throw in. Some people would say, no, you know what? You had to throw in. I said, not on the first at bat. Let the guy do whatever. And even if he strikes out, he's done because he's never finished a major league at bat. So
that's right.
Yeah, you know what? You throw all over the place, but you don't throw in. You don't throw up and in, middle in, or lower in. Okay, maybe lower in. But you don't do anything else. Stay away from his head. You throw middle and out. That's what you do. Give him a bunch of fastballs, curveballs. Maybe throw some trick pitches and stuff, like screwballs and sliders on the outside. But you just do not throw in on the first at bat. Once he's had it, hey, you know what? Welcome back, boy. Sorry, you're back.
Okay, Roger, I had a question. Why did the Marlins have to get permission from Bud Selig for this one? Because evidently it's a one-day contract. Now, is it the fact that they had to get permission because he was playing on Team Israel just a couple of weeks ago and he was not in the minor league system? Is that why they had to get permission?
Oh, no, wait. What's this, Big Dog? Who'd they have to get permission from?
The Marlins had to get permission from Bud Selig for him to make the plate appearance next week. Evidently, it's a one-day contract that they gave him, and it was so that, you know, he could actually have a full at-bat that the Marlins are doing this. But they said they had to get permission from Bud Selig. And I'm just wondering why.
Okay, the only reason why they have to do that is because he's not a regular player and he's not listed anywhere in anything. And this is what they call stunt project.
Well, he's been playing on the Team Israel team. I guess he does play professional ball.
Well, he plays outside the United States, but he hasn't been in the United States. Okay, Peter, or Big Dog, Robo Dog. There's this thing in baseball that the league must approve special deals like this because they're called stunt plays. There have been times when the owners have brought little tiny tots to come to bat.
Yeah.
They brought 59-year-old pitchers. Yeah, Brian, did you want to add to that?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were trying to get in. There have been things done by the owners in the past where it's out of the norm, and there are specific rules on who's eligible and who is not. So they've got to be registered in the league, blah, blah, blah. There's all these things, you know, and, you know, if Mr.
Yeah.
Greenberg wasn't eligible to play in Major League Baseball, then they had to ask for permission. So there's a few technical things you have to get over. And teams have the habit of trying to generate money by doing stunts. So the commissioner has to approve the contract to avoid any degradation to the integrity baseball.
Of the league.
Yeah.
And just in case anybody's wondering, they will be facing the New York Mets, and it will be R.A. Dickey that will be the pitcher.
Oh, no, really?
Yes, a knuckleballer, yes, of all things.
Okay, but you know what?
Yes.
Dickey is not like his name. Dickey is not a dick.
Yeah, it's true.
But you know what? If you get hit by a knuckleball, big deal. Oh, Brian, I mean, even if he throws up an in at him, right, that's a knuckleball.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't count. That doesn't count.
It doesn't count. But you know what, guys? Get a chance to watch it. Trust me. Trust me. And knowing that it's R.A. Dickey, you know what? You got a good guy in there. Trust me. He is going to stay down the middle and outside. And that's the way it's going to be. First at bat, you're going to give it to him. And then after that, you're like, okay, dude, hey, welcome back. You've had it. Now it's your job to stay. And maybe he's not going to stay. And that's why it's just this is a stunt, Peter, for all intents and purposes. You're really doing it to satisfy a dream or whatever. So I think it's a good thing. The commissioner approved it. Good stuff. And I appreciate that, Big Dog. I did not have that one.
Yeah, it'll be on Tuesday, so it may be, you know.
I'm watching it.
Yeah, and this was originally, you know, he wasn't originally a Chicago Cub, and it was a Chicago Cubs fan that kept up with this and tried to mount some sort of petition to get him back into baseball, and the Cubs were the first ones to the first ones given a chance to bring him back. The Cubs decided not to, and the Marlins decided, well, since we were the team that had the pitcher that hit him, you know what, we're in last place, we're not going anywhere, let's give this kid the chance that maybe he'll never have. So the Marlins, I'll give them that. They stepped up, and, you know, they may not understand the manager, but, you know, the manager, he may not understand what the manager has to say to him since he doesn't speak very well.
That's funny. That is funny. Ladies and gentlemen, we've covered quite a bit of stuff already, and we have quite a bit more to go over. Big Dog, I've got some news in the NHL. I'm going to go to that unless you have something else, and we've got some boxing news and some other stuff. Where do you want to take us?
Just real quick, that looks like Curt Schilling is out of hot water, and the government decided not to press federal charges against him. So he gets off, and he gets off, and those $75 million that was given to him by the great state of Rhode Island goes down the drain, and he walks away clean free.
Whatever. Whatever.
Exactly.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Those are our tax dollars one way or another. So you have to deal with it. I think that's a crime. And sure enough, they didn't do their job. I think the guys that You know, they're just throwing way too much money away. It's just they're just doing way too much. It's not that that you can throw away money. It's just the way they're going about it. It's just pathetic. And, hey, you know what? If he followed the business rules, the laws as they are, I guess that's why they didn't go after him. Maybe he blew the money on salaries, investments, and stuff related to the business. And if he did what he was supposed to, then, yeah, you know, the business went down. It went down. But we'll see. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that are going to sue him still. Because there's still some money there, intellectual rights, property rights, and stuff like that. So we'll see. We'll see. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, former NHL player who became a minor league player and assistant coach in Las Vegas is facing prison time and sex offender registration after taking a plea deal in Nevada State Court in a case alleging he sexually assaulted a girl under 14 over a four-year period. Michael McBain of Las Vegas pleaded guilty in Clark County District Court to reduced felony charges of attempted sexual assault with attempted lewdness with the child, prosecutor Alexandra Chrysantha said. The 35-year-old McBain remained free on $75,000 bail pending sentencing January 30th. He faces 2 to 40 years in prison and lifetime supervision as a sex offender, according to terms of his plea agreement. McBain from British Columbia was drafted by the NHL's Tampa Bay Lightning in 95 and played for the team from 97 to 99. He played 2 seasons in the United Kingdom before signing with the minor league Las Vegas Wranglers. McBain played in Las Vegas from 2003 to 2008 before retiring and becoming an assistant coach for 1 season. Wow. Horrible. In addition to NHL? Yeah, it's bad. The Players Association seemingly had a good day as they returned to the negotiating table. Nothing resolved, but that's where we are on the NHL. They're talking again, guys. So if the season is not necessarily in doubt, but I guess they're sitting down. And as I said, Alan Diaz this week, right after the refs blew that call, and that's what we're going to get to in a moment, after the Monday night game ended, it was a Monday night game, right?
Yes.
I told Alan, man, I want to be the negotiator for the NFL refs right now. The best man to be right now is that guy after that horrid Monday night call. But before we get to that Monday night call, Big Dog, yes, go ahead.
No, just you were talking about the NHL. They are talking. Nothing's being really talked. I mean, nothing's being settled at all. But the preseason has been all wiped out completely. At first, it was just the first couple of weeks, but now all of preseason is gone. And this doesn't get resolved in the next probably week or so, maybe a week and a half at the outside, you're going to be losing some regular season games starting in about 1 week.
Wow. All right, well, there it is, even much more clarity. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw this one to Brian right away, but let me set up the story. On Monday night, my wife needed to go out to the store to go get something, and I'm coming back, and I'm signed up on Zello, ladies and gentlemen, on my smartphone. I think it's cool. I always wanted the Nextel phones with a walkie-talkie. You don't need that anymore. With Zello, a download, and no, I'm not getting paid for this, you can have the walkie-talkie option on your smartphone. And if you want to be friends with me on Zello, find me at RDNORIEGA, and we'll be friends, and we'll play walkie-talkie.
Z-E-I-O.
Yes. Okay. But the point is, Todd Washburn from the Great White North, otherwise known as the Bay Area, he sends me a message saying, Raj, the Internet has exploded. Dude, what's your opinion? And the way he wrote it was like, uh-oh. And I just cut the crap, Todd. What happened? Monday Night Football, the game just ended right now, and everything's going wild. Did you see the bad play? I said, no, I was at Target, dude. And he said, tell me, what is it? Raj, it's like me throwing a pass. It's like you going deep to the left side, and I throw the pass to the right, and it's called a touchdown. I'm like, oh, my God. All right, I'm walking in the door. Let me watch ESPN. They're talking about it. And I saw it. I saw it. My wife saw it. My daughter saw it. I know the Big Dog did. Brian, take us down this nightmare in the last game of NFL week season 3. Couch potato, get in now. Brian, what happened, pal?
Well, it was a perfect chance for Vegas to make a lot of money because the betting of this was up. I mean, Monday Night Football wagers were up a lot, and I think they said 75% to 80% of the people bet on Green Bay money line to win, and I think minus 4 points, 4.5. They were winning, covering. This call happened, and when I saw it, I said to myself, I said, oh, God, this is easily overturned. It's not a touchdown. I mean, it's not going to happen. And then when they come back and ruled it a touchdown, probably the worst call I've ever seen. I mean, I could get a five-year-old that watches football on Saturday to make that call correct, to tell you that that was an interception and not a touchdown. I have no idea how it flew, how this was upheld. And also, if I'm the NFL, I'm reversing that call and giving Green Bay a win.
And in addition to that, when I'm watching this call, I'm in conference with Alan Diaz. I'm in conference with Todd Washburn. And we're like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And there's the supervisor of the NFL refs in the booth, okay? And which I – guys, did everyone miss? I mean, there was an offensive pass interference in the end zone by the same guy that allegedly caught the touchdown. He pushed a defender in front of him. Why wasn't that called? On that
The refs are looking at the wrong thing. You know, they're looking at the play instead of looking at what's happening. You know, you have to have somebody looking at these guys, what they're doing, like the push-off, but everybody was looking at the ball in the air.
Fair enough. Big Dog.
Oh, no, I was going to say, and he admitted a couple of days later, I think it was Wednesday, that he pushed off. He admitted that he pushed off.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, come on. I thought the NFL could have said, and not only was it a bad call, but they missed a pass interference. So he, I mean, you know, come on. It would have been offensive pass interference, but okay, all right. I asked my wife to watch it. I didn't tell her anything, and she's a casual fan. She's learning as she goes. And I said, okay, look, who caught the ball? And this was a casual fan, and she said number 43 caught it. And then I brought my 15-year-old, who almost never watches football, and the only reason why she watches football is to spend time with me. She sits there and she watches, oh, the 40-some guy, 43, she goes, yeah, he caught it. Oh, my God. And if you see if ESPN was quick, shockingly quick, to read the rules, and it said if a pass is caught simultaneously, the offensive team does get credit for that. But the pass was not caught simultaneously. So that rule doesn't apply. So, oh, my God, I flipped out. And now, Brian, if you want to see some bad calls, brother, go watch some baseball games. You'll see some bad calls.
And the funny thing is my wife came in, and I had a DVR, and I just rewinded it a little bit and showed her. She said, oh, that was an interception. And this is my wife that never watches football, never, really ever watches it. She told me it was an interception, and I'm just like, how can these bozos not see that as an interception? 99% of America probably agreed with it. It was an interception, except for 1% of probably the Seattle fans that are delusional. So.
That's funny. The Seattle fans are the delusional ones. Look, guys, the NFL could not overrule the game and change it after. It would set an incredible precedent, okay? I knew they were not going to change the outcome of that game. But what I think the genuine crime was the official that was up in the booth said that there was no proof to overturn the call. All right, because if you know the replay rules say clearly that you have to have, it has to be, I forget what the language is, but it says, you know, it has to be clearly in contravention to that. And seeing that, it's a bad call. So you can't clearly correct the bad call based on that ruling. But the point was, it was a bad call. And did you know that the NFL official that is the supervisor has a history of making bad calls in the NFL? Did you guys know that?
I believe it.
No.
Yeah, they did on ESPN. They showed all of these supervisors' bad calls in the history. This is a guy that ruled the Vinny Testaverde touchdown when his helmet crossed the line and the football was still behind the line. This is a guy that called the touchdown. And among other bonehead moves. And, you know, I was thinking about that. I said, okay, yeah, I can see that in the workplace. It's always the idiots that screw up that get promoted. It's always those. And I can see that.
That's a fair statement to say that.
Brian, you, me, and Robodog are nodding our heads. Yep. It's always the ones that screw up that get promoted. And it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Well, it's because I've been told by management, well, we need you where you are. Oh, cut it out. Cut it out. I know managers in the world are saying, well, no, that's code that you suck, so I need you there. No, the reality is when you look at the people around you, the ones that are always getting promoted are the ones that always screw up. And as I've told people in the working world, the reality is that these bozos that do all these stupid projects, they get promoted because they're doing something. And the reality is if you're not doing anything, you're not doing nothing.
Well, people also get promoted that aren't threats to take over the person promoting them, you know, and that's one thing I've noticed, too. If someone's intimidated by you or they fear that you might come in and do a better job, they won't promote you. But it's
that is true.
Yeah, that's true. I promise you. I've seen it in several companies with other people that the manager, I know a lady that a manager was intimidated and actually passed her over for another position, gave another person a position that just came in the company within a year, and she was very upset, and rightfully so.
Yeah, you're right, Brian. I agree. I agree most wholeheartedly. You're right on that one. That one even rhymed. Wow, most wholeheartedly. Big Dog. We're still on that football call. Go ahead.
You know, that's why I think that was a major factor as to the reason why the referees are back. Because I think after that bad call, I think Goodell got on the phone and said, you know what, we need to fix this, and we need to fix this now. Because after that happened, and the referees did come back, I don't know if you guys saw, but Roger Goodell issued an apology to the fans saying that they deserved much better than what they were getting in the first three games or the first 3 weeks of the season. And he apologized for that. So I think even he knew, and begrudgingly so, had to admit that these referees were not as good as the regular officials. And there's a reason why, because that's why they weren't NFL officials in the first place. They just didn't have exactly what it took to make the grade for the NFL.
I told Alan this. Yeah, on Monday night, I said, you know who I want to be right now? And, of course, Alan was thinking, George Clooney? Because of the woman he's with. I'm like, no, I want to be the negotiator for the NHL, the NFL player refs. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, oh, yeah, I see, Rod. I'm like, yeah, I wanted to be George Clooney, but that's neither here nor there. And sure enough, the deal took, what, 24 hours, guys?
Something like that.
Yeah,
they got a nice deal.
Well, yeah, the NFL, for the first time in a long time, someone had them by the cojones, huh, guys?
Oh, yeah. I believe it's an 8-year deal or a 9-year deal.
How much?
It was either an 8-year deal or a 9-year deal.
Oh, wow. Good for them.
And,
you know what?
They get their salaries to increase from an average of, let's see, last year they made $149,000 on the average. Let's see, where is it? Where's my numbers here? In next year it'll increase to $173,000, and then by 2019 they'll be making an average of $205,000 a year.
Good for them. Good for them, guys. Like I said, I don't begrudge anyone and anything for how much they make because if we were in the spot, we'd love to be in their spot too. I don't begrudge anyone what they earn I only begrudge them when they complain about it. And they always say, show me respect. I don't show you anything. Your paycheck shows up every day. If your paycheck shows up every day, then shut your mouth. I don't know about you guys, but when these guys say, show me respect, you know, hey, your respect is that when that check shows up. That's all it is. Gosh. So it is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. Big Dog, where else do you want to take us? Or Brian, do you have anything you want to talk about, maybe even college, stuff like that?
Well, I do want to say one thing about baseball, the Braves. Is it looking like the Braves are going to play the Cardinals in the wild card? And if so, if they win that game, will they be playing the Giants probably in the first round?
Oh, that's good, Brian. You have me on that one. I wish I had a solid answer on that. I have not seen the playoff brackets, but based on what you're telling me, yes. Because a while back, baseball established the wild card rule that you cannot play your own division. So you generally cross divisions. If it's East, you play West, etc. And, since the Braves are in the East, they would automatically go to the West. So I haven't taken a look at the playoff rules, so I cannot tell you. But based on last year, that's the way it would have worked. So,
okay.
Hey, dude, Braves are good, man. And, oh, man, I saw that walk-off home run, and I called my wife, and I said, babe, come over. You got to look at this. And she was like, what? The Braves. Remember how I talked about that the Braves probably had one of the most colossal failures? But it's not, because it was Boston. And the Braves guy that was up grounded into a double play to end their season last time. And look at what he does the next year. Tell me, Brian. Tell all of us what happened.
Well, it was Chipper Jones, right?
No, I don't think it was Chipper Jones. It was
it was a first baseman. I'm sorry.
Yeah, their first baseman. He grounded a double play, and how did he end that game?
with a bomb to, I think it was center field, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. It was a walk-off bomb. So, you know, the big collapse last year was disappointing to Braves fans, but I think they learned a lot, the player did. I think the team in general learned a lot about, hey, I don't want to feel like that again, being one of the biggest collapses. And I don't think the Braves are in position to make a big run or anything, but, I mean, it's better to make the playoffs after a season like they had last year. So I'm glad to see them get back in.
Oh, yeah, clearly. And Brian, it was a bomb. Man, he hammered it. I told my wife, hey, babe, you got to look at this. This is redemption. And this is sweet. And you know, I told her, I said, this is what we as fans love. This guy made the last out and forever will be remembered as making that last out to eliminate them. And what did he do on his second chance? He screwed that, baby.
Well, hey, thing about it, though, why are the Braves drinking champagne and partying just because they made the wild card game? I mean, they haven't won anything. They haven't made the postseason yet until they win that game. I found it rather odd that they would be celebrating that.
Yeah, it's interesting. You're right. The only time that they were supposed to do that is when they win the division, they win the championship series. Oh, wait, they win the division series, and actually, even not after the division series, you just celebrate, big deal, but you win the championship to go to the World Series. Those used to be the times you would celebrate. Winning your playoff spot, and then, well, I guess that's why they have it, the wild card. But it used to be winning your league. So, you know what, any excuse to spend money. Come on, Brian. You know, the flunky that got promoted was promoted because he, you know, he said, hey, let's celebrate when we do this and when we do that. So I think that's what happened. Hey, Big Dog, is there going to be some champagne as far as the Angels are concerned?
It's going to be tough. There's 5 games left or 3 games out. You know, the fact that they beat the crap out of Texas yesterday was great, but the problem is they usually win the first game and then lose the next two. So today and tomorrow are going to be the telltale signs. If they can sweep the Rangers this weekend, there is a chance, but I don't know what's going to happen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, live from the land down under, he is the man, the myth, he is the one who is AJ Maggot. How you doing, buddy?
J. Cheer, the red and the white.
Ah, yeah, guns. AFL Grand Final was on today, and the Sydney Swans won it, and their colours are red and white. That's the song. So one Grand Final down in Australia. The next one is in about 17 hours. That's my game.
That's right. You're going to be watching it tonight, huh?
Absolutely, mate. I'm going to get out of bed 5 hours early to watch a game of football.
There's a committed fan there, huh, Big Dog?
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's what you do for your team. You make those sacrifices.
Nah, we're going to go all the way, boys. Well, I hope we do anyway. But, no, it's looking good. The AFL Grand Final between Sydney Swans and the Hawthorn Hawks was on today. It was a snapper of a game. It went right down to the last seconds. It was a close game from start to finish. And, yeah, definitely, it's not the sport I normally watch, but it was an enthralling game, like a real edge-of-the-seat fingernail biter. So I hope tomorrow's game's just as good. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing my beloved Bulldogs get up and beat Melbourne Storm. It should be a great show.
And as a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, that game will be televised here in the United States, so we are going to be checking it out. I was very surprised when I saw it listed. I'm going to see just before we go if I can find the listing for it, because I did see it earlier in the week in the TV guide up here. So, AJ, what else is going on in the land down under, man?
And I must, the Rugby League Grand Final will be midnight your time.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
So hopefully you get to watch it. I'd like to have a chat with you, see how you enjoy the game. I'm pretty sure you've watched the State of Origin before, but this Grand Final should be something worthwhile. Other sports, like the football's just wrapping up. There's the 2020 Cricket World Cup's happening at the moment. Australia just defeated India, and the West Indies defeated England. It's a game. I'm a big cricket fan. Cricket's basically Australia's baseball, if you will. But there, that's looking good. The horse racing carnival's just been kicking off, the spring carnival in Australia. So we got our three big horse races coming up this month, and the first Tuesday or Wednesday of next month is the Melbourne Cup, which is the biggest horse race in Australian history. So horse racing's really kicking off. That's like our transgression between football and cricket. So, yeah, sport is pretty happening here. I'm having a ball. I'm driving a really, really crappy bus into the cities. So it's shaking all over the joint. So
we can hear it all the way over here, AG. I thought it was all those boozers and drunks in the back of the bus.
No. I'm working in the city tonight. I started later. I would have called you from town, but I'm driving in to start late. It should be a big thing. Like I said, there was a grand final on today, so there'll be a lot of supporters of the winning team being from Sydney in town tonight. And when my beloved Bulldogs get up tomorrow night, the town should be full of blue and white tomorrow night. It'll be out of sight. And I'm wearing my Bulldogs jersey to work tonight, so I hope no one's got a problem with that.
AJ, take a picture of the jersey, please. Put it up on Facebook. We'd love to see it when you get a chance. AJ,
you're live, of course, with the Bulldog.
And you have Brian. I don't know if you guys have spoken in the past. Brian is part of the family
Brian
here.
Brian Alvarez, yeah.
No, not Matt Alvarez.
He's a
Alvarez.
Wrestling fan, I think.
Yeah, no.
Brian, sorry.
He's from Georgia, the great state of Georgia. He's live with us. So, Brian, AJ's in Sydney, dude, and you're out in Atlanta. It's about as far as you can get.
definitely.
It's good to talk to you, man. I totally got your name mixed up. I don't know if we've ever swap words before. So it's good to meet someone from Georgia. It's the home of Bill Goldberg and the Atlanta Falcons. How's that one?
Oh, definitely. I forgot about Bill Goldberg, guys.
Oh, no. AJ is a huge fan. AJ is a man. He's a Renaissance man. He knows a lot of stuff. When it comes to sports, he's put the Big Dog and myself to shame a few times.
Hey, when I was at work last night, we had two blokes that are backpacking from Texas, and they were completely blown away how I even knew of Kerry Wood and how many strikeouts he got in the Cubs. And they were blown away by my history of America. I even told them that the Longhorns are the best American or college football team in Texas, and they were spun out about that, too.
There you go. Brian's a college guy. Brian, the Longhorns of Texas. Any comments?
Well, just one of the most traditional programs of all time, so he might be right there.
Now, Brian,
there's an absolute ton of there's a ton of wrestlers that are from Texas that all played football for the Longhorns. I could rattle off about 20 names, and I all went to the same college and all made it big time in the wrestling circles. That's how I know about the Longhorns.
Yeah, but AJ is a big guy when it comes to wrestling and the mixed martial arts. He knows what's going on. Brian, what's your college football team?
The Auburn Tigers.
There you go, AJ. He's an Auburn fan. That's another traditional classic program over here, too.
Now, isn't there a college? Is it Georgia Bulldogs? Is that from that state as well? I'm a bit mucked up on that one. But
no,
the Bulldogs, that's my footy team. So I have bought a Bulldog shirt for Christmas once from my mother, and it was the Georgia Bulldogs. I'm not sure if that's from the state or not.
No, Auburn is in Alabama, and they're right beside the Alabama Crimson Tide. I'm sure you know them.
Yep. Definitely. Alabama's a great wrestling town.
Yep, here we go. So, hey, Big Dog, we got AJ on. Anything you want to talk to him about the wrestling? Remember what we have? Who left wrestling, dude?
Yeah, but see, AJ is a true wrestling fan. He, you know, he doesn't follow WWE women's wrestling because they really don't wrestle. But I don't know if you heard or not, AJ, but Kelly Kelly was released by the WWE.
Yeah, I heard that, and also Beth Phoenix asked for her release, so they're gone. But there's two independent superstars, one female by the name of Sarah Del Rey. You might know who she is.
Yeah.
Real tough woman that's wrestled a lot in ROH and Sumo. But there's another bloke from England by the name of Pac, P-A-C. He's one of, you've probably seen him in TNA a few times. He just got signed with WWE as well.
Yeah, but you know, when those guys do that or women do that, they get watered down so badly because WWE has to have it a certain way. I mean, they're usually never the same type of wrestler when they get in. You know, there's a couple of exceptions like Punk and Daniel Bryan, but other than that, I mean, most of those guys get watered down when they come in.
Sort of. Do you ever watch NXT on your television? Because that's a like the developmental territory for WWE, and the wrestling on that is very good. There's a whole bunch of ROH and independent people on there, people that used to be known by Tyler Black and Chris Hero are now working in wrestling in NXT, and that's some great wrestling, like amazing wrestling, a lot better than what you used to. It's almost a TNA style, like X Division style, but done by a bit bigger blokes and a bit better, NXT, definitely worth working out. I've heard it might be an interweb TV show in the States, but we get it on television here, so if you ever get the chance just to give that a crack, it's very fine wrestling.
Okay, I will. No, I don't get NXT over here, kind of TV, so I would have to look for it on the web.
No, fair enough. I know baseball's just about wrapped up. I've been a bit away from that of late. I know that once we get to this time of year, Cubs fans normally look at some other sport to follow, but who's it looking like for all the playoffs? I think I heard you say there might be 3 or 5 games left or something like that before the playoffs start. Who's looking like the big winners?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, AJ, there are 5 games left, counting today. Right now, Texas, Detroit, even Chicago, New York, and Baltimore at the American League. And the National League, what you generally paid attention to, because of your Cubs, the San Francisco Giants, they've won their division already. Cincinnati.
Oh, really? Wow, that's
yes, great. They already won. And Cincinnati has won their division. That's the one where the Cubs are in.
Oh, that's great.
Now, the other teams that are fighting generally are Washington and Atlanta, and there are a few others as well on the periphery. But those are generally...
So what happened to the Pirates? The Pirates had a great start to the season. Have they washed up towards the end, have they?
Big Dog, you want to tell them about the Pirates?
The Pirates, they took a nosedive. The Pirates are now 76-81, 19 games out of the Central. So they're done.
Well, that's shocking because they had an amazing start to the season. Same with San Francisco.
Yes,
they had a shocking start to the season, so it's sort of surprising to hear that they won. That's good. I've always been a fan of Tim Lincecum, too, so it'll be good to watch him pitch again in the postseason.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Lincecum is starting to be the old guy that we know. He had an off year this year. But, the Pirates, colossal failure, dude. They were off to... Man, we were all happy that they were finally going to break their streak. What was it, 18, 19 seasons, guys?
It was 18,
I think I talked about that ages ago, months and months ago, we were talking about the same thing, how the Pirates hadn't done nothing or made the playoffs. I think it was 18 or 19 years or something like that. Yeah, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, and right now, AJ, they're 5 games under .500 with 5 left to play, and we did discuss it. And I said, well, there is an outside chance they might win 5 and end up 81-81. You should have listened to the panel. They're like, no, not going to happen.
Never mind. Well, apparently fortune tellers give the Cubs a title in 2016, so I've got something to look forward to.
as a matter of fact. Well, AJ, due to Back to the Future, the Cubs are going to win it in 2015.
Ah, awesome. Yeah, that's right. I remember that, actually, from the almanac.
Yeah, and
no
that's
worries.
Right. But the only problem is Miami's in the National League.
Oh.
Because if you remember, they beat the Miami Gators.
Oh, yes. What was I going to say? Last week when I called up, you said, Couch Potato might have a show on tomorrow where I'll be able to talk about the grand final. I'll send you a message on Facebook later on tonight, Big Dog, or even Scorekeeper, one of you. But if you can give me the info for that, I'd like to talk about the grand final after we win it tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, Couch Potato is listening, so we will send you that contact information, AJ.
No worries, boys. I'm going to get going because I'm about to hit the city and a bunch of traffic, so it was great talking to you again. I'll stay in touch, and I'll send Big Dog a letter regarding the next Comics 101.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, AJ.
Sorry I didn't get to talk more, Brian. I don't really know too much about you, but maybe next time. Take it easy, boys, and everyone listening. I heard Zeke's off radar too, so if he gets, when he's around next, it's good he's still around. But, yeah, his computer's. But, yeah, take it easy, boys. Everything's going great. And go the Mighty Bulldogs. Later, boys.
Go Mighty Bulldogs. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. AJ Maggots in the Land Down Under knows his school is his team's theme song. Dude, I didn't know they had a song. I mean, who is the only team right now in any major sport that has a song sung on a regular basis for their team? Who is it? Brian should get this one.
Probably the Auburn Tigers, right?
Okay, let me switch it to professional.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, that was good. Oh, I missed it. Sorry. Big Dog, you want to take you want to try that one?
Geez, I don't know.
It's a football
Brady?
Team.
What's a football team? The Cowboys? I don't know.
No, it's the Redskins.
Okay, sing the song.
I'm not going to sing Hail to the Redskins.
Oh.
No, that's the Braves. That was good.
I don't know.
No, it's Hail to the Redskins. Every time they score a touchdown and stuff, they play that song on a regular basis. Hail to the Redskins. Remember that one? You guys don't know that?
I didn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's obvious that we watch Washington Redskin football. Whatever. It's okay, guys.
Why?
I know, exactly. Why? Well, RG3. No?
Yeah, he's having a great season.
Oh, God, he's having a great season. 3 games, Big Dog.
Putting up some numbers?
Yeah, he is.
And
any comments on RG3 there, Mr. Brian?
Not really.
I love it. I don't have any either. And I'm actually for RJ3, but Big Dog, it's like you coming over here and pissing in someone's cornflakes in the morning. Dude, it's only 3 games.
Yeah, man, that's your point.
Okay. What are his numbers, Big Dog? That's my point.
Oh, hell, I don't know.
All right, then.
Washington, they're not going to do anything.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to see. Ladies and gentlemen, we are only down to about 6 minutes or so. It's been a lot of fun this morning. It's great to be back in the game. And I'm not sure if Couch Potato is going to have a program on right now. I guess he's not. I haven't caught any messages. Couch Potato, you're in the chat room. Any program on?
I don't believe he's in the chat room. I think he just kept his phone open at home because he never left.
Oh, yeah, he did. He left.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah. It's okay, big dog.
Maybe he can't talk.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe he's teaching his daughter team that double tumble with the undertuck, you know, and a backflip.
You know, I was about to have breakfast. You know that, right?
Well, I didn't think he was wearing the tights.
Oh, shut up! Jesus.
Then he wears them backwards. He wears the tights backwards sometimes, you know.
It's a bad image.
No
high five for you, big dog.
Yes, there is, because NBA training camp starts in 3 days. The NBA's back, guys. I'm happy.
As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, in NBA news, the Utah Jazz will not allow disgruntled guard Rajah Bell to join the team for training camp,
right,
even though he remains under contract and they haven't been able to agree on buyout terms. Utah Jazz general manager Dennis Lindsay issued a statement on Bell, who has publicly feuded with coach Tyrone Corbin. Lindsay said he has spoken with Bell's agent, and they mutually decided it's in the best interest of both sides that he not rejoin the team. The 35-year-old Bell is set to make $3.5 million this season, his last year under contract with the Jazz. But he said at the end of last season that he didn't want to play for Utah this year and was critical of Corbin and the organization. Big
yes,
dog.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Yep. Do you think there's going to be any little bit of love there?
No, he's gone. And, of course, your prediction came true, or your hopes came true, as the NBA is finalizing a flopping procedure. As now, as you know, like with technical fouls, they can review those after the game and either, you know, increase the fine, decrease the fine, or take away or add a technical foul to your season. They're going to be doing the same thing with flopping. They will be reviewing flops after the games and handing out fines because of the flops. Now the flopping has gotten really bad this last about two seasons or so, and the NBA is now taking provisions to take care of that. They're going to start fining the players and maybe even suspending multiple offenders. One or two games to keep the flopping. So, you know, too bad Derek Fisher isn't playing, because that would hurt him the most. Because Derek Fisher is one of the best floppers around, even though I love him because he was a Laker all those years, but he was a major flopper.
Okay, big dog, you're the basketball guy. Brian and I have outside interest in basketball. Brian, are they really going to be able to enforce this policy on the floppers?
No, because it's just too much judgment involved.
Bingo.
It's just, I don't think they will.
Big dog, I agree with Brian on that one. I don't know how they're going to be able to do it. There's going
to
be appeals on this galore. I mean, just because someone looks like they're faking a fall doesn't mean they are, in fact, faking a fall, you know?
Well, I totally agree. This is one of those type of calls that's almost unenforceable. I mean, you know, it's a judgment call where you may see it as a flop, I may not. So I don't know how – I don't know if it's going to be a three-man – they're still finalizing how they're going to do this. I don't know if it's going to be a group of people, if it's going to be one person. I don't know. We'll see. But they're supposedly trying to get this done before the season starts because they want to start doing it this season.
We're going to have to be talking about that flopper stuff in the future because, yes, big dog, I have complained about it forever. I think that if they slide on the floor for more than 3 feet, they're flopping. You know, they get hit and they slide on that floor, you know they flopped. But I can imagine how they're going to measure it and how every team's going to actually have those little lines. You know how they have them for first down in football? They're going to have these digital lines from where he hits and how far he slides on the ground. Ladies and gentlemen,
right,
this has been Sports Talk with the guys. It's been a lot of fun having Brian on with us. Of course, the big dog, Couch Potato, when he was with us too. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a great weekend. We have a lot of college football. Baseball's coming near the end. Of course, we have the fourth week in football up. The refs are back. Weaver has won 20, and the playoffs are on their way. Stay tuned for everything. Weigh In Sports is on every Sunday night at
9 p.m. Eastern.
6 p.m. Pacific time, ladies and gentlemen. The Big Dog is on, usually on Monday nights when he can, at 8 p.m. Pacific time here on this very same channel. And don't forget to catch us on Tuesday night on the flagship channel, NDB Media. We're down to 10 seconds. Love to all. We'll see you guys on the other side. Brian, Big Dog, thanks, guys. We are out of here.
See ya.
See ya.